In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the feast of St. Peter Celestine, Pope. Remember who St. Peter Celestine is? I know I've mentioned to you him a number of times. But St. Peter Celestine is one of these great hermits. He was given to a particular life of devotion, even from his earliest age. Think of like Esteban, your grandson. Think of those truly devout young children. That's exactly what Peter Celestine was. He was, from his earliest age, communicating with his own guardian angel. He would commit himself into them. I believe his given name, I don't have it written down here, but I believe his given name was, last name, was something to do with Angelis, was his last name, St. Peter Celestine. And so he indeed took that as a command that he was a part of the family of the angels. And so he conversed with them. He would spend time with them. They would give him insights as he would go out, even from his earliest age. And so devout and pious was he that his own parents, who themselves were quite devout, devout children usually do not spring up from undevout parents, although sometimes that does happen. It's more common the case that, as Pope St. John Paul II speaks, that the home is the first seminary. The home is a school of virtue, it's supposed to be. And so building up the life of the children therein. And so these parents brought about this devout child through many acts of charity that they would freely give. And recognizing in Peter Celestine, among all the other children that were there, they saw that he himself was so given to this act of piety that his mother made every effort to ply herself at every possible gift that she could give to be able to obtain for him a great education, saying, this one the Lord is calling to something which is great for his glory. And so she made sure that he was given the best proper education that she could afford in order to be learned in letters and to make advancements therein. Going from that, he did eventually arise to the level where he went out and became a hermit. But living that life of hermitage in a solitude, giving himself just to nothing but prayer and devotion to God, he was not able to live in his hermitage the way that he would have liked to. Because out of his hermitage, people kept bothering him. They kept finding out that there's this holy hermit that's out there, and they kept sending people over for advice, here I've got this thing going on, pray for me, here, do this, do that for me. And he was receiving so many visitors throughout the day, and he just couldn't take it anymore. So eventually, it came to the point where he was called up by the bishop of the local area, and he said, the Lord has gifted you in all these ways, I need you to become a priest now. And he said, no, I'm not worthy of becoming a priest. Don't make me a priest. That's not what God is calling me to. I'm here in my hermitage. Just leave me be. Leave me alone. And he was forced to take up holy orders. He finally consented to be able to do so. Again, there, now being a priest, he needed to celebrate Mass, and it was a group of religious who also said they wanted to live in the same life as him, to follow after him. And so he built up this monastery that was becoming there, just of a small group of men who later would be called the Celestines, which even to this day, there's the order of Celestines all throughout, these great devout hermit-like monks who go about in a life of devout prayer. Given all the things that he was brought to skip a lot of history in his life to go forward, there came a time, where it was in the 1200s. It was in the 1200s, late 1200s, where the Pope in Rome, he was in Abruzzo, which is where my family and my grandmother's side comes from in Italy, a little bit south of Rome and toward the Adriatic Sea, there on the east coast. He was there, and they were struggling to find a new pope, a new holy father, to elect someone. It had been 2 full years where those who were the cardinals were deadlocked in not being able to support a pope in his election because of, as you know, intrigue. Lots of intrigue and infighting among the families that were there, not ruling in such a way so that they would build up the church or build up what it is that God wanted, but what is the thing that's best for me? Who's going to take care of me? And so for 2 years, they were locked up in this. And Peter Celestine, being a holy, incredibly devout monk and full of fire of God, couldn't understand why they would be this way, and moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote a scathing letter unto the cardinals to get them in line, saying, it has been 2 years, how could you not have, and called down God, the Holy Spirit, down upon them, and reminded them of their future judgment if they would not give the church a father as she deserved. And when they received, the cardinals did this missive when they were there in conclave, going there to elect the Pope. Reading this aloud, somebody shouted out, Petrus. Petrus, Petrus. And then the rest of the cardinals began chanting that as well, Petrus. And in that instant, they elected Peter Celestine, the hermit, Peter the hermit, to the papacy. And so they had to go find him because he wasn't there. And so they went and sent a legate out to him to be able to retrieve him, for they have elected him pope. Note that Pope doesn't always have to be selected from the cardinals. Pope doesn't always even have to be a bishop. He doesn't have to be a priest either. He could be any Catholic layman, could be called to the papacy. Obviously, he would be raised to those dignities, right, before he was made pope, before he was able to exercise his papal ministry anyway. So there he was, and pleading with him at the place where he was at his monastery, the legates came. He said, no, this is not what I wrote that letter for. I wrote this letter for you to get your act together. And they said, yes, we've elected you. We've elected you. Come be our Pope. You're the one who actually sees things rightly. And so begrudgingly, convinced by God that he had to accept it, he trudged on. And going away, they took him by force into the city of Rome, and he went with one of his monks who was his dearest and closest friend. And when his dearest and closest friend went with him, they were getting ready for the festivities to crown him Pope. And so he conspired with his dear friend to sneak out of the city of Rome and go off into a place where they'd never be able to find him again. And they did. They accomplished that feat, to be able to navigate outside the city. But then they were caught again. They were caught again on the way out. And he realized that he couldn't fight anymore. And he said, okay, fine. If they're going to make me Pope, then I command you as your superior, you must follow me here and be my assistant so that I may do rightly, be my consolation here in this vocation that I had. And his friend turned to him and he said, I accepted with you to follow you all the ways under the crown of thorns, but I will not follow you into the crowns of elevation. And so he said, so he allowed him to go and to live out his hermitage life while he himself was saddled down with the weight of the world and the church. Pope Peter Celestine wasn't a terrible pope. He was just a really bad pope. And not because of anything of his skills. He was probably, quite possibly, the holiest man ever to assume the throne of Peter. Quite possibly the greatest in the spiritual life, the most advanced in a way. He was indeed given to mystical prayer, even from his early ages. And so to be able to be the pope in this way, yet he knew nothing about rulers. He knew nothing about princedoms. He knew nothing about dealing with intrigue and all the things that go on behind that a secular ruler would know about and know how to cut off things and to understand. He trusted everybody. He trusted everybody that they would be working for the good of everything. Sadly, that's not the way things always work, right? Humanity has fallen, and that penetrates every aspect of life, including the church. And so in that way, he was unable to accomplish things. He was there sent to reform, and he just couldn't accomplish any reforms. Just as you look at sometimes when somebody were to assume the presidency or any other office within that, if they themselves are the good person, but everybody else around them are not good persons, well then what effort, what good can be done if you are constantly being undermined by those who are around you in any reforms you're trying to undertake? So is St. Peter Celestine. It came his first year around where he was being elected Pope, and it came time for Advent, and he said, I can't enter into the Christmas mysteries if I don't at least make a retreat beforehand. And so he went away for some time, I think it was a number of weeks, to go ahead and pray to be able to make himself ready to enter into Christmas through a Holy Advent retreat. And upon his return, what did he find? The state of the church was far worse than it was than when he left it. All the intrigues had gone on in so many ways, and he finally threw up his hands there during the Christmas season and made the decision, I'm going to resign. I'm going to resign the papacy. I can't do it. There's nothing in me that is good to be able to do this. I can't turn this boat. I'm not the right person. And so he resigned the papacy at that time, only after being pope for a number of months. And so he went away, and eventually they quickly elected a new pontiff within the matter of weeks or days to elect him. And he was able to write the church, and he was more of an intrigue guy in that way, and was able to rule. But also he made sure that Celestine went off to pray, but he couldn't go off to pray outside the Vatican. So he locked him up, basically, in a place so that no foreign ruler would ever come and kidnap Celestine, the resigned pope, and use him as a pawn to be able to trade about like a prisoner in some other way. So he kept him a prisoner even within the Vatican, which he gladly accepted just so that he could be alone with God. That's all he wanted. All he wanted to be alone with God. And so you and I might ask the question, well, then why? Here's this holy man, the holiest of holy men who probably have ever been able to assume the papacy. Why is it that God would allow him to do that if it was only going to end in a couple of months and greater disorder after it? Why would God allow him to do that? You and I can't know, can we? We can't know the full mind of God and all these things. We can't know what his will is in this. You don't know why it is that God grants you illnesses or struggles or hardships, or when somebody passes from your life unexpectedly, or when somebody within your family goes through a hardship. You don't know that. Well, in the same way, we don't know exactly why it is that God indeed allowed these things to go on within Celestine's life, Pope Celestine. So when we go through these things, all we know is that we are to keep our eyes fixed firmly upon God. Eyes fixed firmly upon God, and lovingly trust that somehow he's going to work out some good things through this. In the life of St. Peter Celestine, that's all that he did his entirety of his life. He constantly sought God, and as the scripture spoke about here, when he heard the voice of God, he just accepted whatever it is that God was leading him to. He did not want to become a priest, but he accepted that God was calling him, so he begrudgingly did it and tried to live it out the best that he could. He didn't want to be a head of a monastery in any way, or even be around other people, just wanted to be him and God. But yet, he accepted that God was calling him to that, and so went into that life. And when he himself was seeing destruction in the church and spoke out against it and they elected him pope, he tried to run away from it, but yet God was calling to him, so he finally accepted it. And then even in this time in his life, he accepted that he didn't have the skills to be able to do it, even though he knew God had called him to. And so he resigned in this way and accepted that God would carry him through everything else that was there. It's the same thing for you and me in our lives. We don't know why God has put you here or where, why God has brought you here to our church in this place, or why he has led you through the various paths that he's got you in your life. Your goal now, no matter what has ever happened before, is to keep your eyes fixed firmly upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the author and finisher of our faith, and to live our lives devoutly from this point on, and just to trust that when God presents us an opportunity, which is indeed from him through proper discernment, that we go forward in confidence saying, okay, God, I just want to be a yes to you. I just want to be a yes to you. I just want to do what it is that you've called me to do. Who knows? Maybe it is the very task of Pope Celestine, that the reason why God called him in that way is to show maybe one thing, that selecting merely the holiest person for such a position isn't always the best decision. There are other things necessary other than personal holiness. You got to know things of the world. Can't just be that and expect to assume the highest offices within the church. Have to have some practical knowledge as well. Also, to make sure, maybe it was a lesson that God was trying to teach the church, in that here these cardinals couldn't get their life together, and so they had to have Celestine to be the motivator there, to be able to be put in this place, to get their act together to elect a pope. And then afterwards to realize that there had to be somebody ruling the church, because they saw how badly things could go when there isn't the right person at the helm. Because it took them just a few moments, comparatively, to elect a new pope who led the church in a more proper direction in that way. We don't know exactly what it is that God is calling us to, but within our lives, to seek the Lord the best that we can, to give our lives in prayer, and then when we notice that our Lord is calling us to something, just say yes. Just say yes. Just say yes to the Lord. So when you feel like you don't know what's going on, or where you're struggling in some sort of way, or you don't even know who you are within yourself, as each of us do from various moments within our spiritual lives as we grow, ask for the intercession of Pope Saint Celestine. Ask for his intercession in there, for he is one who spoke with angels. He is one who has called himself Celestine because that's where he wanted to be, in the heavens, which is what Celestine means. And so too, by just saying yes to Christ, yes to Christ, yes to Christ, over and over again, that is the end which you and I will attain. For those who say yes to Christ, he always says yes to them and welcomes them home, just like Saint Celestine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.